This is Focus, our morning talk program. My name's David Inge. Glad to have you with us. Harriet Williamson is the producer for the program. Jason Croft is at the controls for this hour, and Kyle Mabry was on hour number one. Today's phones are smarter and faster than ever, and they have an array of features that not long ago people could only dream of. At the same time, these cutting-edge devices and the services they provide are expensive, and it pays to be a smart shopper. This morning in this hour of Focus, we have with us two guests, and we've split the program in half, so we're going to do it half and half. But they're both guests who work at Consumer Reports. They're both senior electronics editors, Mike Gikas and Donna Tappellini. And we will be talking about how you can get the best deals on the best phones, on service packages, and also on touchscreen tablets. So what we're going to do is the first half of the show, we'll talk about phones, and then in the second half, we'll talk about the tablets. So there you're talking about things like iPads and Kindles and so forth. And all of this, I should also mention, too, that there's a lot of information on this subject in Consumer Reports magazine, the January issue, January 2012. Right on the cover, you'll see best and worst cell phones and plans. So if you want to read further on this, that's the thing to take a look at. But also, we will be very happy to take questions this morning and take as many as we possibly can. And so definitely, if you're interested in phones, you want to call in the first part and don't wait. Call right in. And then if you want to talk about the tablets, we'll do that in the second part. 333-9455 here in Champaign-Urbana, toll free 800-222-9455. And if you'd like to send us an email, you can do that too. And the address is will-talk@illinois.edu. And again, here in the first hour, we have as our guest Mike Gikas. He is a senior electronics editor at Consumer Reports. Mike, hello.
Hi, great to be with you.
Hey, thanks very much for giving us your time. I have a caller here with a question, so I want to get right to them. But I guess just up front, I want to give you a chance to make one point. And I'm sure that overall, what you suggest is that when people are thinking about phones and plans and whatever, they think about what it is they want to do with these devices. And for that person who at this point would say, look, all I want to have is a phone.
Right.
I just want to be able to make a call.
And their numbers are getting smaller every day.
Well, I'm sure that that's true. I have to admit, I am one of them. Mm-hmm. I have a very basic pay-as-you-go phone, and that's, you know, all I want to do is be able to make a call. But anyway, but for those people, for people like me, it is possible to have if that's all you want, just a phone, you can do that.
That's correct. But you probably won't go to a major carrier to do that. The best place to go is to get a pay-as-you-go plan is probably from a pay-as-you-go service that a lot of people know, like TracFone or Straight Talk, and consider if you're really an occasional caller, let's say maybe a few times a week and you don't need texting, consider a pay-as-you-go plan. That is, don't buy minutes ahead of time, just pay as you use them. The downside to that is that the actual call may be more expensive, but over the, say, course of a month, your cost will be much lower. And you might have to pay, say, an access fee for every day that you use the phone.
Okay. Well, rather than make the caller wait here, the listener wait, I'm just going right to this first person we have with a call. It is someone in Savoy and on line number one. Hello.
Hi.
Yes.
This is a timely program because I'm in cell phone shopping mode right now. Mm-hmm. I have an LG Touch at the moment. Mm-hmm. It's a kind of a dumb smartphone, and a Verizon plan that's going to expire its 2-year contract this month. And I'm kind of casting around for where to go next. I've been thinking that maybe it's time for an iPhone, an actual Apple iPhone. But I looked at Verizon, my current carrier, which has, you know, this great coverage, and discovered that I could get an iPhone 4 for $99 or an iPhone 4S for $199 with a 2-year plan. And I said, wait a minute, that's Apple list price.
Sorry, so, for the iPhone 4S, you were saying you'd get it for $299?
Oh, I think it's $199.
Yeah, $199 for the 16 gigabyte.
Yeah, and so that these were Apple list prices.
Well, that's with a 2-year contract. If you wanted to buy the phone outright, I think it would be much higher than that, like more than double.
Well, I could swear that Apple just announced a month ago that the iPhone 4, that their list price for it was $99.
I don't know if that, I can't believe that that's true. That's the iPhone 4S, you mean?
Or no, the 4. Without
the S. The 4, right. The 4, maybe, because it's already a year and a half old. And, well, not on Verizon, but certainly as a phone. And now it's $99, and I think over the holidays they had some free. It was available free for some people who signed up. I would, if you're gonna have to hitch up for 2 years, I would go with the newest hardware possible, and go with the 4S. It's not only it's got the dual core processor that's gonna pay off later on. I find that phones as you start to use a phone and you fill its memory, you fill its storage, they start getting slow over time, so you really want to have the faster processor in there. Plus, the iPhone 4S has Siri, that talking interface. If you get past the novelty, I know there was a news item recently that Siri cursed out a little kid or something, but because she asked how many people there are in the world. But I found it to be a very efficient way to dive into some of the more complex features of the phone. I mean, just imagine just being able to talk to the phone, say setting up an appointment. Do you use the calendar feature a lot?
No, I don't.
A lot of appointments, email and searching.
Okay. Really, what I would want the phone for to be able to do a bit of web searching, which of course Siri would facilitate.
Right. Although don't use it in the car. I mean, people may be tempted to use it as a hands-free web search tool while they're driving.
The navigation tools, you know, the GPS, navigate, get me from here to there, I would use from time to time.
Right. Well, the GPS, if you were really big into GPS, I would consider consider an Android phone. Some of the newer ones that have come out have been very good. Android has Google Maps and Google Maps navigation already built in. And they're quite good. Our auto editors are very impressed with their performance. To get that kind of functionality into an iPhone, even the new 4S, you'd probably have to spend about $40 to $60 for an app to get that kind of turn-by-turn. You can get maps, and you can get directions, and the little blip will go along the path, but you won't get the interaction, that is a voice telling you when to turn and recalculating your trips and so forth.
That's interesting.
I mean, there's some very cheap apps too, but I mean, if to get a GPS map navigation program that's comparable to what Android phone users get for free, you'd have to spend about $40 to $60.
Do you have any recommendations then in the world of Androids?
Sure. You're probably going to stick with Verizon.
Probably will.
Well, I just first looked. It's not on our ranges. I just first looked the Google Nexus, and I was very impressed with its large display, and it has the latest version of the operating system, of the Android operating systems, 4.0, or some people call it. You know, Google names it after confections. It's called Ice Cream Sandwich. But I was very impressed with its large screen. It's fairly light, and it's pretty fast. That's one. Some of the other phones that scored very well in our ratings are like the Droid Bionic. Have you considered any of those phones?
Droid Bionic, is that what it is?
Yeah, the Droid Bionic. Let me see, I have my ratings right here actually. So, but the one advantage, one thing you're going to get with most new Android phones is a larger display, and many of them high resolution. So, if you have that mounted on your dashboard, it's going to be easier to see the map. And there are just a lot more options.
Uh-huh. Well, maybe you're influencing me to take a closer look at the Android market rather than focusing on
the
Apple.
Yeah, if you're going to, you know, for web searches, you're going to have a bigger screen. The processors are pretty fast. There's a wide selection in Verizon. There are just a lot of good phones there.
Okay. Well, good. I'll take that advice to heart then.
All right. Well, thanks for the call.
All right, thank you.
Open to other questions here. Our guest in the first hour is Mike Gikas. He's a senior electronics editor at Consumer Reports. And in the new issue, the January issue of the magazine, they rate cell phones, the phones themselves, the plans. We'll be talking here in the first hour of the show, first half of the show, about cell phones. And then in the second part, we'll talk about tablets. So whatever questions have, 333-9455 and toll free 800-222-9455. Just to take a step back here, This may be a little puzzling to people, particularly if they're thinking about making their first plunge into the smartphone market, but possibly even for people who are thinking about making a change or an upgrade. Mm-hmm. Basically, there's one choice that you have to make, or one thing that you can think about, and that is, do you want the Apple product? So do you want an iPhone, and it has its own particular operating system, or do you not? So here what we're talking about really is we're talking about iPhone, and then we're talking about some other phone that would use the Android operating system. So there you would have a choice of a number of different phones. But how do you make that? How do you think about making that choice? Do you want an Android phone? Do you want an Apple phone?
Well, with Apple, there are several advantages. One, it's a very familiar, very easy to use interface. And also, given the popularity of other Apple products like the iPad, it's because if you know one interface, you know the other one. It's very familiar. They have a plethora of apps. I mean, no one can come close to them in terms of the kinds of content you can download, whether you're talking about games or movies or certainly music. They're just more choices for downloads, and it's the most widely supported platform. So if you buy an iPhone, you'll have more choices than any other phone owner in terms of what kind of accessories you can buy for it. The downside to an iPhone is the design itself, in some ways, is fallen behind other platforms like Android, in that the phone itself is now on the small side. The screen's only 3.5 inches. The basic design has changed very little since they introduced it in 2007. There are no iPhones that can go on these newer, faster 4G networks. Technically, the AT&T model does, but that's at the bottom rung speed. It almost doesn't count as a 4G phone, and AT&T didn't do very well in our ratings of carriers. There are new technologies on the horizon that the current iPhone doesn't have. For example, there's near field communication. Have you heard being able to use your phone as a wallet, you know, to pay at the register, just mm-hmm. wave it. You know, that technology is not there yet. But you know, on the other hand, despite being one of the smallest phones in our ratings, it's like one of the heaviest. It's like almost 6 ounces.
Hmm.
So that's one of the reasons why you want. Now, why would you go with the good thing too is that it's hard to get lost in an iPhone. It's easy to use. The interface is easy, and there's really not much you can do, to botch things up. But if you go with, say, an Android phone, the Android platform, you'll see more exciting hardware, in that you'll see phones with screens of 4.5 inches or larger. That they have a wide selection of phones that have these faster dual core processors. Their phones are available on carriers, on all four major carriers, and some of the small ones that can run on these faster 4G networks. And the operating system itself offers probably more options for customization. There are tools called widgets on there that allow you to you can say constantly view the weather or stock updates without actually launching the app. You can there are more options for changing the display to put the apps you want, to get it to look the way you want it to look, with different backgrounds and arranging the apps the way you want it to do, whereas the iPhone is pretty much static. I mean, they have the ability to add folders and group apps and so forth, but not change or customize the interface as dramatically as you can on Android.
Okay. We have some other callers here. Let's go on to Southern Indiana, line 4 right here. Hello.
Got an iPhone 3G. I'm very happy with it, but my contract is, up. And my question would be, should I upgrade to an iPhone 4G or just wait until iPhone 5 comes out?
Well, we're probably a ways off for when an iPhone 5, if that's what they call it, comes out. Traditionally, the iPhone 5 or the next generation iPhone would come out on. In late June, early July, but that sort of got disrupted when Verizon entered the iPhone market, because they announced, I think, in April they introduced their new products. But you're an AT&T customer, I guess you're not going to change. Is that correct?
Right. Yeah. My coverage anywhere else, I can't get any coverage with Verizon. AT&T is my best choice living down here.
Well, okay. There's a rumor, but when it comes to Apple, rumors are virtually worthless. That the next iPhone is going to have a lot of the ingredients, a lot of the features that are now that Android phone users enjoy. Namely, the most important, I think, will be a larger display, which would be very good, especially if you want to use the phone as a GPS navigation device, and the ability to go on 4G networks, which AT&T is starting to roll out as well. So the 3GS is a great phone. It's amazing. You still have the battery still holds a charge and everything. How long have you had it?
Two and a half years, and I've not had a bit of trouble with it. I had just a little bit of trouble. Get some water down in the headphone jack, it'll go to speaker, and mm-hmm. You got to talk on the speaker. But, I mean, it's been a great phone. So I almost hate to get rid of it. So I thought, well, if this iPhone 5 would come out in the next year or so, maybe I'd...
Yeah, probably not even. If you want to wait, probably around May, people have a good sense. Again, June, late June and early July are typically when Apple introduces their new iPhone lineup. Or actually just releases them. So, especially for AT&T, I would wait if you're happy with the phone, and since you're going to stay with the carrier.
Okay, well, that's my question.
Because 2 years is a long time, to buy a phone now.
Yeah, but as long as it works and I haven't dropped it and broke it, so I'm just going to stay with that, I guess, then, until maybe the 5 comes out.
Okay,
well, thanks. Just, again, I have a couple more callers here. Real quick, because I think that there be some people who maybe still are a little confused about these numbers that we're throwing around, that is 3, 4, and 5, and there are a couple of different 4s, and I think
right.
There are still, that Apple, you can still get a 3 phone.
A 3G phone.
Which,
a 3GS, rather, I'm sorry.
Which they're probably, at this point, they're probably practically giving them away, since many
right.
people will want the 4. S, which is
right.
the newest one. What do those numbers mean, and why, if you were say thinking about having an iPhone, why would you want to choose one over another?
All right, if I were going to buy a phone now and it was between a 4 and a 4S, I would go with the 4S. Not just for Siri, but the phone itself has better hardware in it. It's got a faster processor, as I think I mentioned before. The longer you own a phone, especially a smartphone, and the more things you put on it, the phones tend to slow down over time, either because of software updates or as the storage fills up, or you add more apps and they're each taxing the phone in different ways. A lot of apps, for example, update themselves over the network, so they're multitasking in the background. So I would just go with the faster phone. And especially if you're going to buy a phone under contract, you'll want the latest version, just because you're going to have it with you for at least 2 years.
Mm-hmm. And as far as the iPhone is concerned, I know that when the iPhone 4 came out, people will remember that there were some problems with it,
right,
dropping calls, and now, and you, for that reason, you, the Consumer Reports didn't recommend it, but apparently now you think that the problem has been fixed with the latest version.
With the latest version, yes, but even new iPhone 4s, they still make them, but the ones they're still selling now have that same problem.
Oh,
and
okay.
Again, we got a lot of flack for that because they're, you know, we reported there's a chance you would have a drop call, but a lot of people don't experience that problem. So, and we said that the putting a case on the phone seemed to fix the problem. That's why we insisted Apple addressed it. That's one of the things they did initially, was offer a free case with it.
Right. Okay. Let's go to some other callers here. Peoria, line one. Hello.
Yeah. Good morning. I have a Nokia flip top, and AT&T is the handler of it. But I keep having these problems with the drop calls constantly.
This is a flip phone.
I'm surprised I'm still on the on the line with you guys, because it happens at least within the first 5 to 8 minutes when I'm on the phone with somebody. And then the other thing is too, it just seems to me that AT&T, I'll be driving down a perfectly straight highway, and all of a sudden I'll be talking to somebody, it'll just cut out. So,
well, is that
it?
Well, is this a new development, or is this something that's happened to you recently, or for as long as you've owned that phone?
Since as long as I've owned this phone, and what I'm looking for is when this contract goes up in another, I don't know, probably 6 months or so, mm-hmm. I'm looking for another phone that I can use that doesn't have a flip top, because I honestly, when I used to not have a flip top, I never had the problems, and I think it may be the pins on the top of the lid when you flip it open. I've had other ones in the past where the pins have come out. I had the Razor, had the same problem.
Mm-hmm.
I guess I'm kind of rough on phones, but what I'm looking for is something I can use.
But you don't want a smartphone, obviously, right?
Well, a minimum. And that's the problem with all these phones. They're getting very expensive.
Right.
Because I use it for
not just
work.
To buy, just to own. Because
own. It's ridiculous. And I've had, this is my third Nokia in a year, because they all do the same thing, and all of a sudden I'm not talking to anybody anymore.
And you went to you're on AT&T on,
yeah.
Is it prepaid, or you're on contract, right? So
I'm on contract, yes.
Their prepaid is called Go Phone, but they didn't do very well. I'm just trying to think, in your area, you sound like a prime candidate for a prepaid service. And
somebody else said the same thing, and you might be.
Well, a lot of the phones, though, again, the prepaid services offers a greater selection of plain phones. That is, phones that just do their primary mission to handle voice calls, and maybe some have a camera or a very simple camera, and that's probably what you're looking for. So again, I would strongly consider.
Well, I don't want all that fancy stuff. Yeah, I don't need it for the computer.
Well, you know what I would
All I want is one with a camera that I can take pictures for work, and that I can call people with, and nothing up and extra. But it seems like every time you go to an AT&T store, they want to sell you the latest, greatest, and I don't need all the garbage.
I would consider a phone from Consumer Cellular. Are they in your area? Consumer Cellular, that's our top-rated carrier, actually, of all the carriers, including Verizon and Sprint and T-Mobile. They score the highest in terms of value and customer satisfaction. And they don't. It's a no-frills carrier. They don't have texting plans, and so they have a nice selection of very basic phones and great prices. So I would shop at Consumer Cellular. Now, there's no phone I can recommend because they're not high. You know, they're typically phones that are, with some number attached, like the Nokia 2670 or something. They're not going to have a glamorous name like the iPhone or the Intrigue or something. They're just going to have a number. But Consumer Cellular did exceptionally well in terms of value and coverage. People being satisfied with the voice quality. And if you have a problem, excellent customer support.
Thank you very much.
Okay. Well, Going to go another caller here. This is Matt Toon and line number two. Hello.
Good morning.
Yes.
Appreciate the program today. I'm a huge Droid fan, and I also am a Verizon customer, and I'm eligible for an upgrade. And when I went in and talked to our local dealer here in town, I was told that if I'm looking to upgrade my Droid, that I should wait. Motorola is coming out with a Droid 4 sometime fairly soon, they thought. And I'm wondering if you've heard anything about that, or if you know
Droid is Verizon. Right now, we're seeing something. I made this recommendation to a friend. Again, I don't sound like an advocate for the Galaxy Nexus, but the latest version of Android is out already. And the trouble with Android is they still, even phones that are just coming out now or will be coming out in a month, may launch with the older versions of the operating system, Gingerbread, whatever they called it, 2.3. What I've found, especially with Android phones, is it's the phones that come with the new version of the operating system will always perform better than the phones that you buy and update the operating system later.
Right.
And sometimes it's just a disaster. Things never go right. Either the battery suddenly loses its oomph, and it drains really quickly, or it crashes more. So my general advice to anyone considering an Android phone right now is if you can afford it, wait a few months and consider place more weight on consider buying a phone that runs on the latest version of Android, which is 4.0.
Okay.
And it's got a lot of nice features on it, too, in terms of two of the nicest things is it has a recent app button. Sometimes it's very easy to get lost on a phone. If you've used a couple of apps and suddenly you're looking at a screen full of icons again and you just want to go back to the app you were looking, there's a recent app button on that, too. And also, they allow you to organize your apps into folders. I mean, this new operating system does. So that you can say put all your if you have social networking apps like Facebook and Twitter and so forth, you can put them all together. If you have several email accounts, you can put them all together into an email folder. So they'll always be in that one spot instead of fishing around for different things.
Well, I think that's what they said was that the Droid 4 that Motorola is coming out with will have that new operating system. And
well, probably will. Yeah. I mean, again, if you need a phone now, you need a phone. But if you have the luxury of waiting a few months, the Consumer Electronics Show is next week, and we expect a ton of announcements of new phones, including from Droid models. Of course, Droid is not just made by typically Motorola makes a Droid, but others have made them. It's more of a Verizon brand than a phone brand.
One of the things that I've got is that I have big fingers, and I really don't like the on-screen keyboards, and so I like a slide-out keyboard.
Yeah,
that
may become less of an issue now. When you're talking about phones with screen displays of 4.5 and larger inches, believe me, I have chubby fingers myself, and I found now with the bigger screens, it's much less. It's easier to enter data. And one thing I really like about the Android platform itself, I mean, this is for all phones, is they have an excellent predictive text feature. That is, as you're typing, word options start showing up as you're entering the letters, like to save you time. So if you start typing thank or THA, you really wanted to type Thanksgiving will pop up in the window, so you can just tap it and be done with it instead of hitting all those buttons. A lot of them also have, when you're holding the phone vertically in portrait mode, have a swipe keyboard. Have you ever used that? Have you ever heard that?
Yeah.
You can literally type without lifting your finger. You just move your thumb, let's say, from one key to another, And it sounds clunky, but it's actually very efficient for typing accurately.
We're at the point where, Mike, we're going to have to switch out guests here. Mm-hmm. And I want to say thanks very much for giving us some of your time. And again, I'm sure there are many more questions people might have, particularly when it comes to carriers. So what they can do is they can go out and look at the January issue of the magazine. And particularly because, you don't just choose a phone, you also have to choose a carrier. And there are some that people seem to like and some that people don't. So that's something that people should be thinking about,
well,
too.
The big news, again, in our survey of 66,000 people in the January issue, was that small really is big. A lot of people, for most people, they'll find greater value and satisfaction from some of the smaller carriers than the larger carriers we should typically think of.
All right, Mike Gikas, he's Senior Electronics Editor at Consumer Reports. Thanks very much.
Thank you.
We'll take a break at this point, and then we'll be talking in the second half of the show about tablets. So here we're looking at things like the Nook, the Kindle, the iPad, and we'll be talking with Donna Tappellini, who is also Senior Electronics Editor at Consumer Reports. First, though, we'll take a short break. This is Focus.
When Stephen Hawking was diagnosed with ALS, Lou Gehrig's disease, in 1963, doctors predicted an early death. But now a 70th birthday party is in the works to celebrate his life and his remarkable contributions to cosmology and theoretical physics. We'll talk with Hawking's biographer, Kitty Ferguson, on the next Fresh Air.
This afternoon at 1 and this evening at 7 on AM 580.
This is Focus, our morning talk program. My name is David Inge. Glad to have you with us. On the program tomorrow, let me just mention real quick what we do, and then we'll get into our second topic here for the morning. In the 10 o'clock hour, it's the first Wednesday and has been our great pleasure for a long time to talk about cooking with the guy we like to call our chef in residence. So Doyle Moore will be in tomorrow to talk about the style of cooking that you find in New Orleans. And then we'll plunge into some American history in hour number two. Our guest there is Jim Newton. He's a journalist, editor-at-large with the Los Angeles Times, and author of a new book that's titled Eisenhower, The White House Years, looking at the presidency of Dwight Eisenhower. You can find out more about what we'll do in the days ahead by looking at our page on our website. That's WILL.illinois.edu. In this part of Focus, we're talking a little bit about new electronic devices, some of the most popular, desirable, sought-after things that people have these days, cell phones and tablets. They can also be very confusing when you're deciding what of these things would you want to have and what kind of service do you want. In the new issue of Consumer Reports magazine, you can read about the best and worst cell phones and plans, and we talked a little bit about that in the first part of the show. Here in the second part, we want to spend some time talking about tablets. So here we're talking about things like the Kindle and the Nook and the iPad, some of the things that have really taken off. And we'll be talking in this hour with Donna Tappellini. She's a senior electronics editor at Consumer Reports. And again, there are also some ratings of these things in the most recent issue of the Consumer Reports magazine, January 2012. So you can take a look at that. And questions are welcome, too. Again, 333-9455 and a toll-free 800-222-9455. Also, you want to send us an email, you can do that as well. And that is will-talk@illinois.edu. And Donna, hello.
Hello.
Thanks very much for talking with us.
Sure.
We appreciate it. This here is maybe one of the biggest, hottest areas here, an area which seems really to be growing, and I'm sure that there will be more of these kinds of devices on offer in future. Right now, it's not nearly as many as phones, so the choices aren't quite as staggering, but there are a lot of choices, and different manufacturers are competing for this market. It seems like the big, the 100-pound gorilla is still Apple with the iPad, but there are other devices. So again, here, it's kind of like with phones. With phones, your choice is, do you want an Apple phone or not an Apple phone? Well, here, maybe again, it seems like the choice is, if you want one of these touchscreen tablets, is, do you want an iPad or do you want something else? How do you think about that?
Yeah, well, there are a lot of things to think about, but one way to start is by the size. So if you don't mind having a larger, about a 10-inch tablet, as the iPad is, it's pretty light, but it's it's big, then that would definitely be your choice. For the first time, we have tablets that are smaller and significantly less expensive that you can think about, and those are the 7-inch Nook tablet from Barnes & Noble or the Kindle Fire from Amazon. So where the price of the iPad starts at $500, the price of the Nook tablet is $250 and the Kindle Fire is $200. So they're smaller screens, but you can save a lot of money.
Mm-hmm. Well, that, I suppose, for a lot of people, that will be a deciding factor, and
mm-hmm.
that is that they're attracted to the idea of this device and what it can do, but that they would say, well, I can't or I won't pay $500 for this thing. And I suppose, though, it does indeed come down to what it is you think this is going to do for you. How are you going to use it?
Right. So that's another direction you can go. So with the iPad, the great thing about the iPad, one of the great things about the iPad, is the App Store. And, you know, while Android has a lot of apps, and there are plenty of good ones. Apple has a lot of apps, and there are some really great and unusual ones that, you know, they kind of distinguish themselves from the apps that you get on Android operating system. And Android is the operating system that the Nook tablet and the Kindle Fire and most of the other tablets use. So, let's see, for an example with the iPad's apps, Bjork, the singer, released an album, and mm-hmm. along with the album, she released a bunch of apps that go along with that work on the iPad that let you do different things with the music. So that was kind of cool. The iPad, I think, is still the best way to read a magazine because you can read the magazine on the full size page without having to use the alternative views like the ones that you use on the Nook tablet or the Kindle Fire. They're okay, but if you want to read the whole full magazine page the way you would read a magazine, then the iPad is the way that you can do that. So those are a couple of ways that you can distinguish the two.
Yeah, and that I think if people are interested, they can peruse either if they can get at the App Store, they can see what's there, or there has been certainly a lot written about the iPad and the apps.
Oh, sure.
So if you're interested in just finding out what apps, you know, just do a Google search on top 10 apps for the iPad, and you will see what they are, and then you can get an idea about what it is they do, and then you can think, well, do I want to do that, or do I need to do that?
Yeah, and a lot of them go across both operating systems, so you can get Yelp, for example, which is the thing that helps you find local restaurants or other types of businesses. You can get that both on the iPad or on any Android tablet. And you can definitely access the stores from, for example, Apple. You can access the App Store through iTunes, I think, or you can just go to Apple's website, and they give you some examples on their website of the kind of apps that you have for the iPad.
Yeah, and I don't have experience with Android tablets, but I do with the iPad, and I guess as far as the business aspect is concerned, as Apple is concerned, I think one of the genius of the products is that they have made it very easy, very easy for people to buy and download apps.
Yeah, it's pretty easy to do that on Android tablets too, and you know, if you have a smartphone, you're already doing that. So
mm-hmm.
you know what's out there, and you know how to download them. You know about the Google Market or Amazon's App Store. So I'm sure a lot of people are used to those as well.
What I think is kind of interesting about how these things have become so popular, for people who may already have a computer, either have a laptop or a desktop computer that they use, that these things really have a very, very specific niche, and that early on people were saying, well, you got to remember what this is. This is a media consumption device. That's what this is. It's not a media production device, so nobody's probably going to write a novel on it, even though I suppose you could.
You probably could.
But it might not be real comfortable. But what you're going to do with it is you're going to use it to read a wide variety of print publications. You can watch television programs on it. You can watch movies on it. You can do all. You can play all kinds of games. You can do your social networking. You can use it as a reference book. It's rather stunning the number of things that these things will do, and maybe things that in the past we would have thought, well, I never knew I needed to do that, but now I can't live without it.
Yeah, I mean, I've gotten really used to doing all of the above, using both types of tablets. But you know, one of the great things about a tablet as opposed to a computer is it's really easy to use anywhere, and it's just the touch screen is easier. Even if you have a laptop with a touch screen, which there are a few, it's just easier to sit there with a tablet in your hand and do things that way, as opposed to sitting with a laptop on your lap and touching the touchscreen on a laptop. It's easier to read a book on a tablet. The games are great. And the other thing is the apps are free or cheap.
Mm-hmm.
And they're a lot for not a lot of money.
There are, as you say, there are many apps that are free, and the ones that you have to pay for, I think most of them are not. We're only talking about a couple of dollars, so it's not like it's an enormous amount of money. I suppose that's also another aspect of it that facilitates the impulse purchase, because you can say, oh, well, I'm only spending $4 or $5.
Yeah, yeah. I think, I don't know what the most expensive is, but I think, for example, on the iPad, you can get Apple's Pages, which is a word processor type of app. I think that's $9. That's one of the most expensive.
Hmm. Here, someone just sent in a question here by email. Says, I want to carry my iPad overseas in place of my laptop. Are there attachments I can use to make the iPad more user-friendly? A keypad, memory stick attachments, anything else?
Oh, yeah. Well, there are. We did a review of keyboards for tablets, and there are a variety of things that you can do. You can get a keyboard that's just a wireless keyboard. For example, Apple makes one, the Apple wireless keyboard. It's $70, and it's small. It's good for traveling. But you can also get, but that's all it is. It's just a keyboard. You can also get something that serves as a stand, but those can cost a little bit more in terms of weight. They weigh more. You can get some that charge your tablet at the same time as you're typing. So there are a number of keyboards and docks and charging things that you can buy, sometimes all in one, and sometimes you can just buy them in pieces.
Mm-hmm. The other thing that the person here is asking about, and I suppose some people have pointed this to this as one of the shortcomings of the tablet, of the iPad, is that there's no USB port, so you can't plug in a USB key to store stuff, to have extra memory. So
yeah.
there's really no, is there any way around that?
There are all kinds of things called dongles. One thing, for example, there's something that you can, I can't remember the name of it off the top of my head, but you can attach your camera to it, and you can, you know, it's called the Camera Connection Kit. That's for the iPad 2. It's $29, and you know, you can import photos from your iPod or from your iPhone into the iPad without a memory card.
Mm-hmm.
For other people who don't have an iPad, one thing that distinguishes the Nook tablet from the Amazon Kindle Fire is the Nook tablet has a memory card reader. So if you wanted to do things that way, you could do that.
Huh. You know, it's just before Christmas, we had a show here where we talked about consumer electronics, and mostly there, I think we were talking about audio and video, although more and more that comes to encompass computers. And the guest was a fellow who writes about consumer electronics for our local newspaper here and has been reviewing that kind of equipment for a very long time. And again, what's interesting is that over time we start to get more and more questions that have one way or another to do with computers, or, you know, if people now want to have televisions that they can plug into the internet. And we got a number of questions on that show about tablets, touchscreen tablets. And particularly, it seemed that there were people who had had elderly relatives, their parents and so forth, that they were thinking about buying something like this for them, but they were really wanting to know, well, what are the most user-friendly kind of devices like this that there are? And I guess particularly they do want to have something that does have a web browser included.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, they all have web browsers.
Okay.
And they're all, they're as easy or as complicated, I guess, as you want to make them. For someone older, they might like the larger iPad because it's got a better screen. Or if they have trouble holding things for a long time that are too heavy, they might like something smaller. Like I said, they have a browser. You could preload some apps on them that you think would be easy for them to use and that wouldn't be overly complicated. I think they're plenty simple for just about anybody to use.
Okay. I have an email here from someone who said that they had bought a something, and I'm not sure exactly what kind of device this is, but essentially he said he paid $35 for a screen protector for his iPad, and he says it's degraded the image. Is that normal?
I don't know. We haven't really tried those, but if you're relatively careful with your iPad and most of these, you should be okay without having that piece of foil, that piece, it's like a piece of plastic that kind of, uses static to stick to the screen. I have not tried this myself and I wouldn't advise it, but I've seen videos of cats, playing with iPads. but the glass on these is pretty strong. I'm not talking about dropping it. I'm just talking about in terms of using it with your fingers or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
I personally haven't seen one get scratched.
Oh, okay. So it's possible that if what this is some kind of plastic film, that it's either it's become degraded, it's gotten dirty, whatever.
Yeah, just take it off, and I don't know that. I haven't researched those myself. It's $35 cents, like a hefty price for that.
Okay. Well, let's go. We have a caller here to talk with. Let's do that. And
okay.
This is someone who is in Champaign in line one. Hello.
Yes. Hello. I got a Sony e-reader for Christmas. I immediately uploaded 3 books in Spanish to it and have been really happily using the translation dictionary function that it has. The Sony e-readers come with like 6 translation dictionaries already. I've only been using the Spanish, but I can tell it's real easy to switch around with the dictionaries. I love the thing. I just feel like it's what it was invented for.
Uh-huh.
And but there's not the kind of access to foreign language books that Amazon has.
Hmm.
And so I was thinking, well, I just love this thing, and I know I'm going to read as much as many books in Spanish on it as I can. But I'm wondering how the Kindle works, because I have heard switching around, like adding dictionaries and switching them around, is a lot more difficult. Do you know anything about that?
I'm sorry to say I don't.
Oh, boy.
I haven't tried that. I haven't thought about reading books in another language because I don't speak any other languages. Isn't that awful? I wish I did. I'm sorry, I don't know about that.
Yeah, here's the reason I'm asking. I teach German, I'm pretty sure that my school district is going to get me 3 Kindle Fires for 3 senior boys I have, and I'm already thinking that the dictionary function we have to pay for the dictionaries. And it just doesn't work that well. Like if I want to hand it over to the French teacher so she can have her senior students use it to read French.
Yeah, well, that's such a great question. So, in other words, so are you saying on the Sony Reader you're reading a book, say in French, and if you look up a word the way you would look up it up if you were reading a book in English, does a French dictionary automatically pop up? Is that how it works?
Can you imagine after a lifetime of pumping dictionaries?
You must love that.
You touch the word.
Okay.
It appears at the bottom. I mean, I understand Kindle.
But it comes out in French.
Well, and not only that, well, first of all, the way I understand in Kindles, you have to move a cursor.
Uh-huh.
But here you touch the word, it pops up at the bottom, and it's not just, my fear was it would just be like the first basic word that you would see in the dictionary, which can be really misleading. But they have Oxford dictionaries on it, and it gives you like pages and pages of like learner information. I just love the thing.
Yeah, that's great.
And
wow.
So the trouble is,
they don't have a lot of books in other languages.
Well, it's shocking.
Well, that doesn't make sense because they have this great functionality. So the only thing that I can think of is maybe over time they will be adding more.
That's what I'm hoping too. And maybe that the Kindle, because I think I contacted them once, and you would have to go in and change a lot of things to just go to a different dictionary.
Yeah, yeah.
And the Sony is just wonderful for it. So, well, thank you very much.
Oh, sorry I couldn't answer it directly, but I learned something new. So
I would like to find somebody who does know and use and teach and learn foreign languages who knows how to use these things. Because I will repeat, I think they were invented for it. Okay, thanks.
All right, thank you. I want to come back here to, we had the earlier question, the email question from somebody who wanted to take their iPad traveling and wanted to be able to write on it. And they said that, you know, what they it was very interesting that you could transfer photos, but you said, I really need to write on this trip and carry material on a USB to continue during travel. And I think maybe the answer is you can't. I don't think that you can, with an iPad, I don't think you can plug in a USB, drive.
There's no USB port for an iPad, but there might be a dongle kind of a device which you plug in and then takes the USB info.
Okay, so maybe the thing to do is go down to wherever they sell Apple stuff, or go to Apple.com. And see what is there.
Yeah, or just do a web search because it might be a third party product.
We're just about the point we have to finish. I think though that what this points to and what we know is that that now it seems like where computer manufacturers are going is that they see that there is a market for ultra lightweight laptops.
Mm-hmm.
So now Apple has the Air, the MacBook
right.
Air,
right.
which is just one of the sexiest things you're ever going to see. But they're
yep.
also very expensive. Other manufacturers are going to be trying to get into that market as well.
Yeah, well, the MacBook Air, you can get. There's one that's 1,000 and one that's 1,200. There's an 11-inch and a 13-inch. Windows PC manufacturers also are coming out with really thin, really light computers, laptops that they're kind of calling ultrabooks.
Uh-huh. Right.
And they're supposedly going to be less expensive. I've generally seen them $900 to $1,000. Which is not that much less expensive than the iPad, than the MacBook Air. But I have seen a Toshiba Portage that's an ultrabook, which is, like I said, very thin, very light, for $800. So the prices should be dropping on these. Another interesting thing about these is I think that I'm thinking that manufacturers are going to introduce larger ones that are really thin and really light.
Yeah.
So, you know, 15-inch laptops.
We're going to leave it at that. But again, more information on tablets in the new issue of Consumer Reports, the January issue. Our guest here, Donna Tappellini, Senior Electronics Editor at Consumer Reports. Thanks very much.
Thank you.